Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. We're delighted to come to you by way of this broadcast each day, dealing with issues that I believe are the top issues of the hour, those issues that I believe we need to look at and analyze and determine based on the Word of God, exactly how God would have us to respond. Keep in mind, as we face the issues, we do so based on truth. Truth, that is the Word of God, nothing more and nothing less. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. That's what Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32. And then in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am truth. And then to further give definitive answer as to the question of what is truth, Jesus responded in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, may I recommend truth to you today? That is a subject that we find very little of in political circles, especially in the Beltway in Washington. Truth is not sought after or in any way adhered to or honored in so much of what is done today. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But I like the statement made by the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. May I commend that to us today, ladies and gentlemen, is to seek the truth and to listen to the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and the professional as well as the homeowner's lawn care equipment. They carry the Honda generators. They also have a full staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about the power equipment and the hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Look for the gigantic flag, 165-foot pole with Old Glory flying 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, let me remind you that call-in telephone number today is 831-0917. 831-0917. In a moment after my monologue, we'll be introducing our special guest today. The special guest that we'll have in dialogue and discussion about the coronavirus and what's happening on a national level and what's taking place in the state of Florida, as well as the legislative update for the state of Florida. We'll be talking about talking with Florida House of Representatives District 1 representative, which is Mike Hill. Mike will be talking with us today about some of the issues that are taking place in Tallahassee. What are we doing on a state level for the coronavirus? What is happening in the legislative session? What about some good bills and bad bills? Have they stood the test? And the some of them have passed and some have not. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk today about the coronavirus as we begin our broadcast. We are each and every day, each 24 hours, ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing and hearing of the hysteria and the panic looming around the globe. In America in particular, the politicians continue to change the game plan, as I call it. One day we're told not to have groups more than 500. Then we're told that it must be less than 250. Now many on the national level are saying that it must be no larger than 50. And as of the last couple of days, in fact, past 24 hours, we're told that the gatherings or groups should be no more than 10. Now, I don't know what we're expected to do, ladies and gentlemen. Should we all simply sequester ourselves in our closets, go home, stay in silence, and sit in darkness and see what happens? There are a number of people that think, ladies and gentlemen, this could be the end of the world. I read behind one writer just yesterday that said, and 56%, according to the particular survey in that writing, 56% of Americans say that they believe the next thing on the agenda would be to have bread lines in America. Now, if that's not panic, nothing is. In fact, here's an article that says we go from hysteria to hysteria. Many international and domestic business conferences have been canceled. Non-essential travel, both domestic and international, have been halted. Facilities closed. Businesses shut down. And I go further in the article and says, it will be fair to say that the hysteria over the coronavirus will cause much more suffering than the virus itself. And then the article goes on to talk extensively about viruses in the past and the number of deaths. In fact, just last year, I believe it was 46,000 died with the common flu. So far this year, about 31,000 have died with the flu. And you've not heard anybody on national television with any of the news media naming any of those individuals, showing stretchers taking them to the hospital, or in any way interviewing them by Skype and talking about the dangers that they've gone through. None of that's taking place. But, ladies and gentlemen, nationally today, as we stand today, we're going to talk for a few moments in the monologue of bringing us up to speed with what's happening and some of the things that's taking place that will set the stage for our interview with Congressman Hill today. But nationally, all restaurants, lounges, et cetera, having to close down or cease doing business because of the restrictions that's been placed on them. In fact, an article here says the coronavirus outbreak spurs New York, New Jersey, Connecticut to shut down all restaurants, all bars, all movie houses, all lounges. In fact, I understand just in Manhattan alone, there's some 21,000 restaurants that have been closed. And ladies and gentlemen, one article said that I've recently read says, made the statement that the end result of the coronavirus will be that we'll have more bankruptcies than deaths as a result of the virus. May I remind us, the local notices have gone out to avoid going out to eat and avoid crowds of any more than 50 people. That's on the local level that has been the notice. Cruise ships have docked for about two months. Airlines on the verge of bankruptcy. People have panicked as no other time, not knowing the full story of what's taking place and what's going on. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible warns us of the last days that there'll be perilous times. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the word perilous means dangerous, dark, devastating, difficult, deadly. And we're seeing those things come about. Now, I'm not saying that the panic should be lessened in any fashion. I'm not saying that we should be any less fearful when we see these things taking place. But in Luke 21:26, it talks about men's hearts failing them for seeing these things come about. So I want us to understand, first and foremost, we are living in the last of the last days. We can expect some of these things to continue to increase exponentially as we go into the last of the last days. But people have panicked, ladies and gentlemen, not knowing the full story, not knowing what to do. Grocery shelves are being denuded when they stock the shelves within a few moments. In fact, they showed some film footage this morning in New York. I think it was in New York. And they said they're having to reload the shelves about every half hour to an hour. And once they do so, they're totally raided and everything taken off the shelves because people are in a panic-stricken mode. There's some people that are stockpiling food and toilet tissue and bottles of water as though they're going to be in a bunker for the next 6 months. And it's because so much information is going out. May I simply say, so much information is going out that it seems that no one has a full story or a factual fact to run on. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand the stock market is in horrific condition. Dropped another 3,000 points yesterday. Just in the past 2 weeks, ladies and gentlemen, the stock market's depletion on the Dow Jones in particular has represented about $10 trillion, about $10 trillion in financial losses, about $10 trillion. Now, I can't even count that high, but that is the loss as a result of the stock market plummeting. Someone said, and one of the financial writers said, this is the lowest the market's seen, the greatest hit the market has seen since 1987. But ladies and gentlemen, there's one thing that is not scary to me. It's ominous and should cause every Christian to be concerned. Churches are closing across America, showing fear and not faith. Most are closing their doors, say for they're saying for 2 weeks. But here's my point, ladies and gentlemen. If churches are closing their doors now, businesses are closing now, if we're told to close the restaurants now, and most of these edicts are going out on the basis that you do so for just a couple of weeks, and yet we're told by the epidemiologist people, those in CDC and other, the World Health Organization and others that know the facts as we depend upon it, that we've not seen the peak of this virus, that it would be 4 to 8 weeks before it peaks and levels out and starts going down. If that's the case, why don't we close everything now, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, as we're projecting? Because it will not, if we close now, if places are closed now, in my opinion, they will not reopen in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks or 4 weeks. It'll be 6 or 8 weeks. And most small businesses simply cannot sustain themselves with that. So we'll see mega, massive bankruptcies across America as a result of the closures. Now, I'm not saying that the closures may not be in the long run vital and necessary, but at this juncture, I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, I do without any question, without any hesitation, question what is taking place with that. In fact, Dr. Phil, for what it's worth, has a major article that says, shut up. Dr. Phil says, stop politicizing coronavirus and listen to the scientists. Dr. Phil McGraw said, and we need to start listening to the scientists instead of politicians when it comes to responding to the coronavirus pandemic. We need to stop politicizing this and listen. I don't care what the politicians say, Dr. Phil said. Shut up to the politicians. As early as Monday afternoon, nearly 174,000 cases of the coronavirus have been reported around the world, and more than 6,700, this article says, but it's actually about 7,800 now, have died. There have been more than 3,800 confirmed cases of the coronavirus in the United States, with about 69 deaths. I believe the deaths now about 78, topping 78 around that. And all of those statistical data that was given in that article were from the Johns Hopkins University Health Tracker, as it is called. So I simply want to say, as you listen today, and by the way, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you'd like to call in a moment after we've introduced our speaker, our guest, as we talk about this further and then trickle down to some other issues on a state level and Florida level. But I want us to understand we are facing a gigantic difficulty in America. This article says coronavirus spurs New York, New Jersey, Connecticut to shut bars, restaurants, and all movie theaters. The governor of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut have reached a joint deal on operations, rules, and regulations for bars, restaurants, gyms, movie theaters, and casinos. The governors in the nation's largest metro area have collectively decided to shutter bars, restaurants, and movie theaters in an attempt to stem the growing number of coronavirus cases. The governor of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut said they are working to limit the crowd capacity for recreational and social gatherings to 50 people starting at 8 p.m. on Monday throughout the tri-state area. Our primary goal, they say, our primary goal right now is to slow the spread of this virus so that the wave of new infections don't crash our health care system. Do not crash the health care system. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply tuck this in at this point. We'll talk about it further perhaps in the broadcast today. But anybody that's thinking about, pondering about the potential of voting for Bernie Sanders with his social medicine ideal, you'll understand in the situation that we're in with the coronavirus that social medicine would not work, cannot work, and would be devastatingly deathly to the majority of the patients if it were to come to that, because there would be a mega limitation on who gets services. Sure, under the Bernie Sanders socialistic, communistic methodology of delivering Medicare and medical services would be that everybody is covered, but that didn't mean that everybody's going to get served. In fact, there are major indications of that now in Italy, because in Italy, because of the major number of cases, they're now limiting it to the on the basis that if you're 80 years old or older, you cannot be served. You cannot have medical care. They just want you to die. In fact, some of the population control gurus around the world have praised the coronavirus, saying this is a way to kill off the infirmed and the aged so that we can control our population around the globe. Now, that's some of the things that's taking place. We'll talk about some of these further. But ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have today as our special guest. We're going to be interviewing, talking about this and other subjects. We're delighted to have Representative from the state of Florida, Florida House Representative Mike Hill, representing District 1. But when you represent District 1, you're also representing the entire state. So, Mike, we're delighted to have you with us today. Thank you for taking your time out of your busy schedule to join us on Let's Face the Issues.
Dr. Youngblood, it's always an honor for me to join you on your show.
Well, I am so thankful that you've taken time to do so. You've heard my monologue. Tell me where I've gone wrong or what needs to be added to that for our listeners to understand today.
You are exactly right, Dr. Youngblood. All the points that you made about the coronavirus were right on target. What I would add to that is to just say to people, simply continue what is normal good hygiene. Wash your hands frequently. Keep your hands away from your eyes and your nose. Just practice good hygiene, and you're going to be perfectly fine. It's already been determined that this virus is not airborne. In other words, you can't walk into a room where there's a bunch of other people and you catch it. It does survive on some surfaces, but not for a long period of time. So as long as you are not frequently putting your hands after you touch common surfaces, let's say doorknobs or things like that, as long as you're not constantly touching those and then putting your hands almost immediately to your nose and your eyes, you're going to be fine. There's no need to panic. There's no need to live in fear. You cannot have faith and fear at the same time.
That's
if
right.
You have faith in the living God, you can't walk around afraid, you know, and participating in this herd mentality of buying up all the toilet paper because you see other people buying toilet paper. It's ridiculous.
And, yes, it is. I know recently, it's kind of a pun statement because there's something that my bride found on Facebook. Somebody had shown a picture of a fence that was broken down and said, I'll trade you some toilet tissue to fix my fence. And that's basically the status of what we're finding today, just as the one man up in, I believe it was in Tennessee, North Carolina, and that general area that had gone out and had raided the shelves of multiple stores and bought all of the hand sanitizers and then put it on Amazon and other venues to sell. And it sold about 330 of them at $50 a bottle. And then put a stop to that. Now he has 17,500 bottles that he needs to sell. That's because he had gone out and raided all the shelves and left people that could use it, needed it, without any. And so it is a panic thing. In fact, I'm looking at an article, Congressman, that says, coronavirus panic, far more damaging than the virus itself. It is so staggering to me. And I don't know, Congressman, how you relate to this and what you have heard and said and what is taking place on the state level. But what are we thinking about as to closing businesses or asking business to voluntarily close? I know just in Manhattan, I believe they said there's like 21,000 restaurants and places to eat, 21,000 just in Manhattan alone, and all of them now shut down. I don't know what we're to expect from the standpoint of our economy 6 weeks from now or a month from now with this taking place. What are you hearing? What are you saying? What is being done in Tallahassee to guard our state in relationship to that?
Well, I know the governor has passed or requested a number of measures be taken, such as closing schools. Schools have been closed normally spring break, and they're being told to close for an additional week. So there's like 2 weeks for spring break. And I'll tell you, the young people love this. They see it as the corona vacation, and they're taking full advantage of it, even though there are places like Disney and Universal Studios that have shut down. So it's not like you can go there. So first of all, I'll say this. Dr. Youngblood, the coronavirus is real. It exists, but it is not something that we have to be so fearful of that is creating all this panic and all of these measures that are being taken. I know in some states, I don't believe it's happened in Florida yet, but don't give Miami any ideas, where they are ordering restaurants to shut down. First of all, government does not have the authority to tell a private business to shut down or something like that. That is up to the business to decide. And this is what I think, Dr. Youngblood. You know, it's all these measures that are being taken now, it could force, you know, some companies into some financial difficulties, some restaurants, some hotels, airlines, and they're going to have to make a choice. They're going to have to decide to either go out of business or go ahead and operate business as usual, just practicing clean hygiene. And I think what you're going to see is a ladder, that businesses are going to start opening their restaurants. They're going to say, hey, our hotels are open for business. And it might even cause a factor of lowering prices just to lure more customers into their businesses, because that's what they're going to have to do. You're going to have to come and face reality sooner or later. We can go a week or two, you know, with people not going to restaurants and so forth. But beyond that, a decision is going to have to be made to get back to business as usual.
I'm glad you made that statement. Let me pick your brain for a moment for the benefit of our listeners, because many, I'm sure, are absolutely alert and listening and concerned. Give you an illustration first. Yesterday, 3 hours from the campus, went out to lunch, got to a restaurant that we have been to many, many times, and at the time we got there, generally the place is packed. Yesterday, there may have been, including the three of us, there may have been 10 customers in the entire restaurant, and a restaurant that would seat easily at one setting perhaps 350 people, and the people we know well. And during the course of the lunchtime, we asked them how are things going, and they are panic stricken. They are wondering, what should we do? How do we sustain ourselves? They've got three restaurants in the general metropolitan area here, and they're doing well, or have been. But this, if it continues, they said, will literally put them out of business. So now I've set the stage. The question is, constitutionally, and I believe you touched on it a moment ago, and constitutionally, and I honor your knowledge of the Constitution, and as a constitutional attorney and knowledge of it, and as a legislator, do we find that it's incumbent upon businesses, for example, in New York, where the governors now have said, close, shut down. How do we take that constitutionally? Should restaurants simply say, we love the customers, we love the people, we've got to sustain ourselves, we're going to have, as you said, we're going to implement extraordinary hygiene measures, and we're going to keep operating. But yet, on the other side of that coin, if I might add this footnote, because people have been told not to go out of their houses, most are not going out to eat. There's a catch-22. How do we respond to that? What should we think? What should we do as citizens, especially as we're looking to what's happening in the state of Florida? From a legislative standpoint, what is your advice to our listeners?
What I would say, Dr. Youngblood, is go back to life as normal. Live your life as normal as you can. Of course, practicing good hygiene, which you should anyway, the frequent washing of hands, avoiding touching common surfaces, and then putting your hands to your nose and your eyes. But go back to life as normal. You know, it's like we've been through, and I know you have too, Dr. Youngblood, there in the Jacksonville area. Here in Pensacola, we've been through hurricanes. Where, yes, a hurricane will come out and just wipe things out. I mean, it's a disaster. And the resilience of people, of humans, wanting to get back to normal, it will take place. It takes 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and pretty soon things start humming again. And what causes that to happen, Dr. Youngblood, is our free market capitalist society. If we were under, I heard you say this a little while ago, if we were under a socialist system or a communist system, you can't rebound as quickly because you have the elites trying to make decisions for everyone instead of individuals making decisions for themselves and what's going to benefit them the best. I would encourage people, if you normally go out to eat for lunch, go to lunch. If you eat out 2-3 times a night at a restaurant, go to your restaurant. If your favorite one is closed, go to one that isn't. And I guarantee you that pretty soon the effect is going to be that we'll start getting back to normal and ignoring the panic and the hysteria that is going on out there. I would hate it to be the case, but I'm seeing some articles and some rumblings that there are those who want to continue the hysteria and the panic so that it will cause a deep economic downturn and be blamed on President Trump to hurt his reelection.
I'm glad you touched on that. Speak to us about that issue, because the little book of Amos, you're familiar with it. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I really believe, and you touched on it, I want you to dig deeper on that. I really believe we're finding it politicized to the point that it is more political than it is medical or something that we should be panic-stricken over from the standpoint of the virus. And I know some have been applauding this as being a way to prevent Trump from being reelected. In fact, there's PAC, P-A-C, Political Action Committee, that's been set up by some Democrats with the sole purpose. In fact, listen to this. It is so far out. With the purpose of trying to find some way to infect President Trump with the virus to remove him from office.
That is just pure evil. For someone who would intentionally want someone else to get sick so that they can be harmed and removed from their current position, that just comes from a pit of hell.
Yes.
And for others who would want our great economy to collapse just so that it will get President Trump out of office, again, that's just pure evil. And what a lot of people don't recognize is the U.S. economy is the world's economy. God has so blessed this nation that this nation's economy affects around the world. When the U.S. GDP grows, so does the rest of the nations around the world. When the U.S. GDP contracts, so does the rest of the world. That's a proven fact. I've seen that in a number of articles and some polls that have been taken. Not polls isn't the right word, but scientific studies that have been taken that shows that how the U.S. economy goes as how the world's economy goes. And so those nations who think, like China and Russia, who would applaud that the U.S. economy would contract so that they can become most dominant, it doesn't happen that way. When the U.S. economy contracts, so does the rest of the world. And so for someone to naively think that they can wish that our economy would contract to the point where it will hurt President Trump, you're actually hurting people all over the world.
In fact, in some cases, absolute destruction to the economy and the economic system. And I believe we're going to see, as we watch now, and I believe the stock market totals have dropped from just under 30,000 to just about 20,000, just a little over 19,000 or nearing 20,000 now. But I am concerned about what we're seeing with the politicization of it and the end result of what it could be. We're going to talk for a moment, but we've got our top of the hour news break, Congressman. Ladies and gentlemen, we're interviewing Congressman Mike Hill. We're talking about the coronavirus and its effect across the nation, around the world, and how it's particularly affecting the state of Florida. After our one-minute news break, ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're going to have our news break at the top of the hour. We'll be right back after about 1 minute. We're continuing our conversation with Representative Mike Hill from Pensacola, representing District 1 of the state of Florida in the Florida House.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.